Well, good morning. And welcome to the house of the Lord this morning. Isn't it good to worship him? I mean, isn't it good? I mean, when you, where else and how else can you have come in with a bunch of problems, which I'm sure some of you have, and you worship, and all of a sudden those things take a second seat to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he lifts you out of where you find yourself. Why don't you give him praise this morning just for that? Amen? Just for that. Amen. Amen. If you'll remember a number of weeks ago, when I told you I couldn't seem to get past the topic of forgiveness, well, nothing's changed. Okay, I still can't seem to get past that. So today in part two of our series, The Reality of Our Redemption, we're going to talk about a four-letter word, okay? Confrontation. Now, don't anybody tell me that it doesn't have four letters. I know that, okay? I know that. But the title of the message is this, Right the Wrong. Okay, say Right the Wrong. All right, so let's stand together again, okay? I promise, no, I don't promise, but this is the last time I'm going to have you stand. And we will declare our Bible declaration. So take your Bible or your phone or your pad or whatever you might have, raise it up towards heaven, and repeat this with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. I believe it. I receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. You know, I love that Bible declaration. That's probably why we do it every Sunday. I just think it's good. Anything. I love the Bible. Do you love the Bible? Okay. Anything that exalts the Word of God. I mean, it's great. And God himself. But please turn with me to Luke chapter 17. And we will read verses 3 and 4. Jesus is speaking here. And yes, those are the same two verses that we looked at a couple weeks ago. But we're going to look at them again. All right? Wave at me when you're there. Okay. By the way, if you didn't know this, it's up there anyway, so. Okay. Spoiler alert, right? Okay. Luke 17, verse 3. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. This morning I want to take a little bit closer look, if you will, at these verses as we begin part two, okay, of the, like I have said already, our series, The Reality of Redemption, which is entitled Right the Wrong, okay? All right. You see verse 4, I'm just going to kind of go off a little bit, and I know you're kind of used to me doing that, but, and if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Wouldn't you kind of wonder by about the fifth or sixth time if he's really sorry? You know what I mean? But you know, there are people, and I have counseled people that may be hooked on something, and you can fill in the something, but they try and they try and they try, And they are so repentant, and all of a sudden they fall. And they're absolutely, you know, just devastated that the time that they had acting properly in whatever it is that they're having trouble with, that's all gone now, you know? And I say that just to let you understand, I believe that those people are repentant every single time that they come. Every time they go to the Lord, I'm so sorry that I did this. You know, the danger, of course, is that they're going to sin just so much or do things so much that are wrong that they won't see any longer that there's a problem with it. Then they'll stop approaching God and it just becomes a part of their life, okay? But the thing that I've just seen that in the last 30 years of ministry, God, I'm beginning to feel old. In the last 30 years of ministry, is people can be repentant and fall. They really can. So it is possible that someone could do something wrong against you and do it seven times a day and be sorry seven times a day. That seems a little odd, but it is possible. Amen? Amen. Gary Timmer, would you please come up and pray for the message? You know what happened there just now is I almost went off of my notes again. But I won't. Maybe.
Yeah, and the enemy tempts you and tempts you and tempts you, and then when you finally fall, he shames you, right?
Yeah, well, absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's pray. God, you are so good. Father, I thank you for today again. I thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for Pastor West, Lord, and the preparation that he's put in to just tearing your word apart. And God, whatever you want to do today, Lord, that's what we want to do. Father, I pray that you would just speak to each one of us in the way that we need to be spoken to. God, that we get drawn closer to you, Lord, through your word, through your presence. Mm-hmm. Father, let the power of the Holy Spirit just flow through what Pastor West says to us today. God, we thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to begin with verse 3, okay, where it says this kind of obscure thing. It says, take heed to yourselves. Let me read that whole scripture for you once again, verse 3. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. That's kind of a strange phrase. It's one of those things you read in the Bible that you just kind of gloss over, but you know, you got to ask yourself sometime, what does that really mean? What is that really saying to me? And I know it's kind of a strange phrase, but it means a lot. The Greek word that's used here for the phrase take heed is the word proseko, okay? And it means to look and to see to it, okay? Look and see to it. Anyway, when this word is used, it usually implies an intent or earnest contemplation, but it also means to take care or to watch out for or to consider carefully, and it finally can mean to beware of. In other words, the intent of what is written here in this scripture is this. It's warning you and I to be very careful, to be very watchful, and take heed to what you are about to hear in the following scriptures. Again, the verse says, take heed to yourself. I've found over the last 30 years or so of ministry that one of the more difficult things for Christians to do, or anyone for that matter, is to confront someone regarding an offense or a perceived offense. Did you get what I said? Okay, because offense is a funny thing. Sometimes we think that people say things with a certain intent, you know, and because of what you might have been feeling or thinking or going through that day, or the frame of mind that you are in when you talk to them, you receive what they say is hurtful. But it could be that nothing could be further from the truth, right? You just perceive it as an offense, and they really didn't mean it as an offense. And now you have a situation, okay? And you have to answer the question within yourself, am I able to forgive this person? Or does it go deeper than that? And you need to confront the person over what they said. And sometimes you can just forgive it. But then maybe later it comes back up in your life and you realize, oh goodness, you know, I'm still dealing with this, you know? And so maybe the better thing to do is to go and talk to them and confront them. One of the reasons it's so difficult to confront a person is because most of us really don't know what it means to confront someone in love, okay? We talk about it, we say we know, but we really don't know what that involves or what really that even looks like. Because confronting in love is different than just assigning the blame. Come on, okay? In order to confront in love, our intention needs to be one of reconciliation, period, okay? Period, nothing else. All right? So rather than facing the trouble that may come out of the confrontation, we just say things like, oh, you know what? It's okay. It's okay. It really didn't bother me. You're spiritual and you say, I've already dealt with it in my heart. It's no biggie. When again, nothing could be further from the truth. I've had people say things to me, I'm just going to say it, okay, that I wouldn't say to my dog. You know? If anybody asks me what is the biggest shock that you had in ministry, I think it was that. Because, golly, I would never say nothing against my pastor, but some people don't have a problem, okay? Just, don't check that out, all right? Just believe me, all right? And don't write me a letter, okay? And there's something that we have to understand before I get too far into this message, okay? And that's this, that not every issue has to be confronted. Not every issue has to be confronted. If you start confronting everything, okay, that doesn't sit quite right with you, you're going to find yourself constantly confronting. You will. And constantly confronting is a wrong. It really is. It's wrong. It's as wrong as never confronting. The real problem comes when you and I are actually offended, and you can't seem to let go of it, and instead of confronting it and taking care of it, and especially us men, you know, you bury it and you just don't deal with it, okay? And what happens is this: by not living past the hurt of the offense, all that does is just foster worse feelings that turn inward and fester. Come on, it does, which brings about a bitterness which has a snowball effect, and things just seem to get worse and worse and worse and worse when all you had to do to begin with is go to the person and confront them. But the problem is, again, you know, we don't know how to confront. Remember what it says in Hebrews 12, 14, and 15. It says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. And the next part, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. You can't live a life, at least in this Christian church, okay? You can't live a life with a heart full of bitterness and not affect everybody, okay? It affects everybody. How do I know that? Because I can read it in the Word of God. It affects absolutely everybody. And the danger of bitterness is that it can sit in a pit of a person's stomach churning away until that person can't hold it any longer, and then they end up spewing that bitterness out and spreading their bitterness, to all the people around them. Are you following me? Okay. In other words, you can't really hide bitterness, only for a period of time. Listen, confrontation may be uncomfortable, but confrontation is your key, all right? It is. And this is exactly why Jesus said this: if your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. The word that's used for sin or trespass in the scripture, depending on what version you're reading, is a translation from the Greek word hamartano, okay, which means to violate a rule or to cross a line, to commit a grievance or to miss the mark, all right? And by the Holy Spirit using this particular word, he's showing us what to do when someone offends us, okay? Or cross the line. Have you ever had someone cross the line with you? They never should have gone there. It's kind of like, who do you think you are? Okay? Who do you think you are saying that to me? And then they cross the line, okay? I don't know about you, but if I were to be honest with you this morning, which I am going to try to be, okay, I don't really relish confrontation. But I found out that being in the ministry, you have to kind of do it anyway, all right? But in life, you have to do it anyway. And I've learned that sometimes there's no other way, say no other way, to deal with certain situations. Because people are mean. Okay? People are mean. According to the Bible, and how many of you know that obeying the Bible isn't always the easiest thing to do, okay, but it's the best thing to do? But according to the scripture that we just read, you and I are to rebuke that person for what they did or said if they've offended you. Now listen to this. The English definition of the word rebuke is this, all right? To express sharp and stern disapproval, or it's the sharp or stern disapproval itself. Yet the word that's used in the Bible for rebuke in the Greek is the word epidemeo, which in this case means, now hear me, because this is a key. Hear me. It means to speak frankly and honestly and seriously and politely. Everybody say politely. Politely. As you share with the person how you feel. See, what the scripture isn't telling you and I is that we should speak to the offender like they're the devil himself. All right? You may want to, but it's not telling us to do that. It also isn't saying to lose your temper and scream and yell at the person, nor is it saying to make sure that you offend the offender more than they have offended you. And then finally, it doesn't mean to blame the other person. Amen? All right, I just want to lay some groundwork, but wouldn't you say that in the world today, if you were to be honest, being honest is a big issue? I mean, there's dishonesty all over. But you know what? It's a problem in the church also. No doubt it is. The truth is, most of us aren't even honest with ourselves, you know, about what we really think or what we really feel, let alone being honest with other people. I say that because inside, we can just be seething and boiling. Have you ever, I hope this isn't just me, you're having a good day until you see that person, okay? And you see that person, man, and you're hot. You're mad, you know? Maybe they'll even come up to you and say, hey, how are you doing? Oh, brother, I'm doing fine, you know? But we can be seething and boiling with anger towards someone because of something they have said, but on the outside, we smile and pretend that everything's all right. How are you, brother? You know, I'm blessed. No, you're mad is what's the matter. And it's not all right. The truth is, when you refuse to confront a true offense, all right, you are just as wrong as the one who committed the offense. All right? Again, Jesus said in Luke 17:3-4, now just listen, take heed to yourselves. In other words, pay attention to what I'm about to say. This is important, okay? Really important. Okay, if your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. If we're going to be mature in our relationships, okay, with other people, then we need to learn how to confront others in love. How do we do that? I mean, when it's needed. How do we do that? Okay. Are you with me this morning? Okay, I hope so. It may be difficult to confront, but I'm going to tell you one thing right now. It's a lot less painful and leaves a lot less scars, okay, than living with a spirit that's unforgiving and a spirit that's filled with bitterness that unforgiveness brings. So the question this morning is just this. How do I confront somebody in love? How do I do it? I mean, I've heard it before. Sounds good. I've lied before and said I know how to do it. How do I confront someone in love? I'm going to give you three biblical steps this morning that you can take and make right the wrong. If you will take these three steps that I'm going to teach you, okay, on how to biblically confront an offender. And not just confront the offender. Not just confront him. Do it in love. Well, what is doing it in love? You have to have restoration in mind. I mean, that's what you have to do. That's what's got to be stuck in your head. It can't just be, hey, I'm going to show them that they were wrong. Well, you already know that. Okay, and they probably already know that if they did it in the first place. But what do we do? Step one, never. Say never. Never confront anyone until you first cover the situation in prayer. Why? Because prayer resolves and dissolves just a plethora of problems. There's been times in my own life, all right, when I've been upset with someone. I know that's hard to believe. I know. And they've even been upset with me, which is even harder to believe. But only to discover after getting into the presence of God and praying about it that I found that my own attitude was worse than their actions. All right? And it happens. Because God just doesn't hide anything, you know? How many of you know that sometimes your attitude can be more destructive than their actions? And the truth is, once God reveals your attitude and that it is worse than the actions of your offender, all you should really, really see the need for about then is to get your own heart right with God. Amen. All right. And praying will always put you in the position where God can prepare your own heart for what could be a much-needed change. Maybe there's something inside of you that needs to change. Maybe it isn't the other person. Maybe it's you. You know, it's just like praying for your marriage, you know. The only way that's ever going to work is you don't pray that your wife will change. You pray that you will change. All right? And you don't... Hi. Not that she would ever say anything. She's just a wonderful woman. No, I mean that. Amen. Thank you. But it could possibly put you in the position for a much-needed change, okay? Which in turn might resolve the whole issue that you thought that you had with the other person. And then after praying, if you still sense this need, okay, that the Holy Spirit is maybe saying to you that you need to confront this other person, next, what you do next is make sure you pray for that person. What? You know, you pray for someone, it's like heaping coals of fire on their head. Okay? I read that somewhere, in case you didn't. Because I believe the Holy Spirit will always give you a strategy regarding what to say, as well as when to say it and how to say it. And those three things are so important. Believe me, taking instructions from the Holy Spirit about how to confront someone is only going to help your situation. You know, confrontation without prayer is like barging into a battle, into the heat of the battle, into the middle of the battle, with the expectation of winning without any of the proper preparation for the battle. I mean, it's not really that good of a strategy, amen? That's why we have to pray. And so let prayer be a time of spiritual fine-tuning, if you will, as you prepare your heart to do what you need to do. And next, as you pray, thank God for your offender. What? What, him? Her? Yeah. Pray for him. Pray for him. Praying for someone helps you see them in a different light as you can deal with the offense with the right spirit, because that's what you want to do. You know, maybe you need to take time to remember the good things that the person has done, even though you're offended right now. Maybe you need to take time to reflect on all the enjoyable moments. You know, I say this, all the enjoyable moments that you have with that person, because 9 times out of 10, the person that offends you isn't a stranger. It's either a brother or a sister in Christ or family, okay, or good friends. And we do that. We remember those things because it's difficult to stay angry at someone at the same time that you're thanking God for that someone. And really the whole issue here is you've got to get over being angry, okay? You can still feel hurt by the offense, but you got to get over being angry about the offense. So step one is this: never confront anyone until you've made it first a matter of prayer. Okay, that's not so hard, is it? Oh, no. That's not so hard, is it? I didn't think so. Step two. Never confront anyone with a judgmental attitude. What, me judge? Yeah. The truth is, all of us, say all. Say all. All of us make mistakes. And all of us have said things in the heat of the moment that we shouldn't have said. So always assume that your offender would not deliberately hurt you or deliberately offend you. Always, say always. Always take a position of being positive when it's pertaining to another person. And always think the best by not assuming the worst. Okay. One of the worst things that we do is we live an offense over and over and over again. The person has offended us. We haven't gone and told them to, you know, and confronted them, but we live it over and over again. And the offense gets worse and worse and worse. And then you're starting to wonder, well, did he say this or did he say this? Oh, it was probably the one that's worse. And we role play. Does anybody in here ever role play? You know? Yeah. You know, I'll be walking around in here praying. And next thing I know, I'm preaching to you guys. And I'm going, God, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. But he gives these neat ideas. Anyway. But always think the best by not assuming the worst. Okay? When you do finally sit down to talk to the person who committed the offense against you, start the conversation by letting them know that you know that they would never, never intentionally do what they did, but they did it, okay? In other words, the harm that you felt wasn't necessarily the harm that they dealt, okay? Okay? Because many times, people really don't mean things the way they come out. I've learned that in marriage. Truly. I mean, I can say things to Serena and it's like, oh gosh, I even heard all that came out. And now, and they shut her down and we're all done. And anyway. Amen. We don't always mean things the way they come out. But now, please don't forget the other two things because they're vitally important. And the two things are this, okay? Timing and approach. When the timing is wrong, and when your approach is wrong, you're in trouble before you start, okay? You really are. And you're not going to get the desired results from the confrontation, and the confrontation will go south. And the you know, the rift between you and your friend or whoever it may be will become worse. And again, if your timing is off, then your approach is gonna be off, okay? No matter what you're gonna say. As well as if your approach is off, then your timing will never be right. Proper timing and proper approach places a spotlight on restoration of the relationship, all right? Because that's what's got to be in your heart. You got to get rid of the anger. Come on. You get rid of the anger, and your thought is only to be restored to the other person. And when you take the right approach, it's much more beneficial than taking the offensive approach that treats the other person as if they are your adversary. Because if you treat someone like they are your adversary, they most likely will become your adversary. And the purpose of confrontation, okay, is not to prove how wrong the other person was. It's not. It's really not. And how right you are. I know, I just messed your whole confrontation strategy up. Okay? But it's not to prove how wrong the other person was and how right you are. The purpose of confrontation is always reconciliation. Amen. Well, I've tried this. Well, did you try it with reconciliation? Because it won't work if you try it any other way. I tried God's principles. Oh, but wait. And it didn't work for you, right? Yeah, did you do it right? Did you really want to forgive? Did you really want to restore? Well, I don't know. I'm still pretty mad. Well, hello, you know? There it is. I'm going to tell you something. I have never seen God's principles fail. Amen. All right? He is faithful. He is the most wonderful God that you can imagine, okay? And it's only right to do it his way. You know, we talked a couple weeks ago about believing some of this but not all of it, okay? You know, you can't do that. You got to believe it all. And you don't have to put your own little adjustments with it. Are you with me this morning? Okay, we're almost done. So step one is never confront anyone until you have first covered it in prayer. Very important. Step two, never confront anyone with a judgmental attitude. And finally, there's step three. Say never.
Never.
Never forget that you too have been the offender in past situations. Never forget that you have offended people in the past. just like you have been offended in the present, you know. And you know what? You probably didn't even intend to do it. Maybe you didn't even know that you did do it until the person later told you. It may have been the last thing on your mind. The furthest thing from your mind. But you did it. That's right. In other words, always remember that you have been there and done that. Okay? You have been there and you have done that. So that when someone offends you, remember that you've walked in their shoes. You have done the very same thing yourself. And maybe it was on purpose. Shame on you. Maybe it wasn't on purpose. Were you forgiven? Probably. You know, probably. Were you shown mercy? Possibly. I hope. And now it's time for you to show the same forgiveness and the same mercy to somebody else. If you still feel that you need to confront the person, okay, who offended you after these three things, you should now be able to do it with the right attitude. So let me wrap this up, okay? Jesus went on to say this. He said, if your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. The word forgive is the Greek word aphemi, and it means to set free, to let go, or to release, or to discharge. And it can also mean to liberate 100%, okay? It was used in a secular sense in New Testament times in reference to the canceling of a debt or the releasing of someone from the obligation or contract or commitment or even a promise. For you and I, it means this. We have to forfeit any right, okay? We have to forfeit any right to hold an offender captive to a previous wrong that they have committed, okay? We have to give it up. We can't hold on to it. We have to forfeit it. It's no longer an option. In essence, the word forgive paints the picture of totally freeing someone or releasing someone from the prison that you have put them in. A modern paraphrase of the Greek word simply be this, let it go, okay? And no, I'm not going to sing that song. I don't know. Maybe, no. Let it go. You have to do this. There is no other choice. You can't hold on to offenses and not have them affect you. And the person that you may be holding that other person in prison, but you're in a bigger prison. Let me tell you, if you can't forgive, if you can't let it go. I mean, one of my best mentors, I guess you'd say, said something to me that was so stinking cruel. I couldn't believe it. And I went ahead and became a pastor, okay? 30 years ago, okay? Now, I could let that bother me, he's a great friend of mine now, or I could let it go. So I just decided to let it go. You know, it bothered me for a lot of years. But you've got to let it go. It's the same way with the things that people say to me now. I just got to let them go. You know, just as far as God removed your sin from you, okay, as far as the east is from the west, like it says in Psalm 103:12, you have to do the same with this situation. Are you with me? Do you know how damaging it is to the individual, you, to hold on to an offense, to not forgive somebody? Okay. And that's all I have for you today. And why don't you stand with me here just a minute? We're going to say a declaration this morning. The idea of a declaration is, you know, you say it and then you're going to do it. You're going to be open to having it happen in your life. So are you ready? Now I want to hear it, okay? I don't want to have to say it twice, all right? I declare. I will not hold on to bitterness and unforgiveness on the inside of my heart. I declare. God's Spirit is changing me and helping me to confront my offenders in love. In love. In love.
In love.
I declare
that the end result of each difficult situation
will be reconciliation. And I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen and amen. Amen. Why don't you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, I pray that each one of us would take heed to ourselves, that we would listen to this teaching, that we would understand. And maybe we don't understand it in a fleshly sense, but God, it works in a spiritual sense. Father, I pray if there's anyone here today that has been holding on to an offense, I pray that today they would follow these three steps, God, and then I pray that they would be able to let it go. If not, give them the grace, the strategy that they need to go to the person. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,